Welcome to another midweek podcast. Thank you for listening in. We are in Isaiah chapter 40 this week. Isaiah chapter 40. And I'm going to focus especially on verses 27 to 31, the final paragraph of that chapter. I'll just give you a moment more to find Isaiah 40, if you're not already there. And now let me read verses 27 to the end. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. They are lovely verses, aren't they? They've long been favourite verses of mine. I think they're highlighted in the Bible that I had and used when I was a teenager. I came across them through watching the film Chariots of Fire. I don't know if you've seen it, but if you have, you might remember the scene where Eric Liddell, who famously refuses to run on Sundays, instead goes to church in Paris on a Sunday in the middle of the Olympic Games and does the reading in church and reads these verses. And you get that quite powerful, really, section of the film where he's reading these amazing verses about what God is like, his infinite nature, his care of his people, the way he gives strength to those who look to him. Well, the pictures are showing some of Eric Liddell's colleagues competing in the games at that very moment, not doing very well, falling, failing, absolutely distraught at the end of races where their hopes have been dashed. And over that all, these lovely words read in a beautiful Scottish accent, it has to be said. Isaiah, up to this point in his book, has been prophesying judgment and exile for many, judgment for many nations because of their sin against the Lord, including judgment and exile for God's people because of their rejection of him. It's quite a bleak book in the early stages, Isaiah is. But then chapter 40, there's quite a change really of tone. The focus shifts. There will come a day, God says, when after I have judged you, I will restore you. When I will come to rescue you and bring you back to myself. Me, myself, God will do that. The one who is incomparably glorious, who's great and powerful and totally unthreatened and in control. If you've got a few moments at some point today, do read the whole of Isaiah 40. It's a wonderful passage as God both promises to restore his people and speaks of just how great he is, and so how certain they can be that that is going to happen. And then near the end of the chapter, he begins to draw to a conclusion. Let's pick it up, verse 25. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. That's the God who's speaking and promising to do these things. And then he comes to our verses. Verse 27 to the end. Verse 27, why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Can you see why that verse is now there? Because the Lord knows that there will come a time in exile when his people have been there for absolutely ages, when they will be thinking to themselves, well, where is God? Where is this rescue he promised? Has he forgotten us? They'll be grumbling. Perhaps he doesn't care about us. Maybe he's just disregarding us now. When that time comes, God says, remember me. Remember who it is who's spoken these words of great promise. Verse 28, God, who is, you know, everlasting. has always been here and always will. The one who created the ends of the earth, everything else that exists, existing because of him, because he spoke it into being. The one who, end of verse 28, never, ever gets tired or weary, not even remotely, but is so powerful, so sufficient, so equal to everything, who understands everything with this unfathomable understanding. Even the wisest people who've ever lived, just kind of scratching the surface of God's understanding of all things. The one who's so kind, verse 29, he gives strength to the weary. His great reserves of strength and power, giving them to others who so badly need them as they look to him. Verses 30, 31, when even the strongest, the fittest humans can't cope and fail. Even human heroes fail. Well, this God who is there to renew the strength of those who put their hope in him, so that they can walk and run and keep going in the ways that he wants them to. Such lovely verses, aren't they? As God speaks about what he's like and what he'll do for his weary people. I wonder, are you tempted to be a little bit like verse 27 maybe? I think many of us are at the moment, aren't we? Struggling a bit at the thought of heading into a long cold winter with phase two, or the second wave of this virus going on around us. Many of us struggling in so many ways with how different things are to how we thought they'd be, how they were a year ago. And constraints on seeing one another. Real loneliness in some cases. I was talking to someone yesterday who was telling me they can go 5 days through the week without seeing another person to interact with physically. Everything is just online. Worrying about health, maybe. Our health, other people's health. The pain of seeing another job application we had such high hopes for not working out. The stress of discovering children are suddenly off school when we thought they'd be at school because someone there's had a test or has got symptoms or something. There are so many reasons, aren't there, why right now we might be a bit like verse 27, complaining. Our way is hidden from the Lord. Does he even notice us? Our cause is disregarded by him. Does he even care if things are like this? Well, remember, God says who he is, what he's like, what he's done, his kindness to us in the past, the way he's kept us going in the past when we didn't think that would be possible. And as we lift our eyes to him, know, because of him, because he's like this, it will be okay. Let's pray and thank him. Father, we thank you that this is what you're like. Such a great God. So glorious, so incomparable in your power, your eternal nature. The way you never get tired or weary. But we thank you too for your understanding that you know how despondent we can sometimes get, your people can get, the kinds of questions we can end up asking. And we thank you for your kindness in meeting us in those moments, even ahead of time. That when we get into those low moments, we find you there speaking words like this, reminding us of what you're like, of your promises, of your grace, and your kindness. And so we pray, especially for those in the church family who are really struggling at the moment and really feeling low, that you would lift their eyes to you and help them to trust you and to rejoice in what you're like and to know that in your grace things will be okay. Help us to keep encouraging one another as we point one another to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And then let's pray for our students as term continues away at university, and for Sunday Club as we look to get that going again this weekend. Father, we do thank you for good news for many of our students, for news that they're settling into courses and new ways of living. We thank you for so many so enjoying their experience at university so far, and we pray that you would continue to watch over them. We thank you that those who've been ill are better or on the mend, and we do continue to pray that you would watch over their health. And we pray that as they continue on into this term, that you would help them to be looking to you and leaning on you and learning to rejoice in your kindness more and more. And we thank you too that it looks as if we can get Sunday Club up and running this Sunday. We thank you so much for those who've worked hard to make that possible. Thank you for Phil and Liz and the rest of the team of leaders and their servant-heartedness. And we pray for this first Sunday that you just help with all the practical arrangements that need to be made, the new things that need to happen for the first time. Please give wisdom, give patience, strengthen the leaders. And we pray that the children who go along would have a wonderful time. And above all, that they would love learning about the Lord Jesus and that they would be growing in their trust in him. We ask all these things in his name and for his glory. Amen. Thanks for joining us. Don't forget pandemic prayer meeting on Friday morning, 8:30 to 8:50. Details in the email. Do be booking in for church this weekend as well. It'd be great if people could get on and do that. I suspect it will be busier than last week. And see you soon.